Samaria was not on the normal path that they would have taken. And so Jesus goes out of his way to talk to the Samaritan woman. Okay, someone that most people would not, most Jews would not have had anything to do with. Again, she was completely shocked that he would even talk to her, that he would ask something of her, that he would even show kindness to her, right? And so as a Christian, right, again, if Christ is our example, we should be trying to not just, okay, well, there's a set time that I'm supposed to go and tell people about Jesus. No, it's anytime, right? You know, we're trying to find people no matter where they are, right? And the problem in America, if you've ever gone to a third world country, if you've been to Uganda or Mexico or many third world countries, when you go out and share the gospel with people, what ends up happening most of the time? How many of you went to Uganda this past August, right? So when we went out to try to share the gospel with people, what ended up happening, Brother Jeff? They wanted to hear, right? Greg?
Very receptive,
right? Now, obviously here in America, it's not quite that way, right? But whether they're receptive or whether they're not receptive is not the point. The point is we're willing to go where they are, right? That's the thing, okay? Would that Samaritan woman have ever probably gone to hear Jesus?
No.
No. I mean, look at her attitude towards Jesus when he's talking to her. There's no way that she probably ever would have went to listen to what Jesus had to say. Why? He's a Jew. Right? Just that fact alone, he is a Jew, would cause her not to want to go and talk to him. Right? And so Jesus was willing to go to where they are. Right? We have this idea that the church is where people are supposed to come to get saved. Wrong. That is not the purpose of the church building, right? The purpose of the church building is where believers come to get encouraged and strengthened and fellowship, right? So that we can do what?
Go out.
So we can go out to where they are to try to reach them with the gospel. Now, praise God if somebody comes and visits the church, right? Wonderful, right? But we shouldn't just assume that that's how it's supposed to be done. Well, if the lost people want to know, they'll come and find us.
No,
they're not. They're not going to do that. The Samaritan woman didn't do that. Jesus went to her, right? And that's why we do outreach. That's why we encourage you to take tracts and things. Why? We're trying to go out to where they are, right? We don't just assume and expect that they're going to come to us. No, we have to go to where they are, right? And so Christ did that, right? That was the example that he set, right? Did anybody pick up on anything specific maybe that maybe wasn't even mentioned in the notes or anything or in the lesson? Anybody pick up on anything specific through the lesson last week? I didn't give you a chance to ask any questions last week, so I'm giving you an opportunity. Kendra?
I don't know if it was like actually in the lesson, but you had mentioned how Jesus used normal and natural questions to turn around and ask her to get her to think about things and then turn to spiritual.
Right, yeah. He used something that was very obvious. He used something that was that they were talking about, which was what?
Water.
You use water and asking for water to turn the conversation to spiritual things, right? We're going to talk a little bit more about that as well. Anybody else? Anything that you got about through the lesson or anything? Emily?
He spoke to her even though he was tired.
Yeah. Yeah. It says he was wearied. He was tired, right? But he didn't use that as an excuse. Right? He could have easily said, you know what, I'm tired. I don't want to deal with this lady. You know? I mean, it wasn't like she was wanting to talk, you know? She was just coming to get water. It would have been very easy for Jesus just to say, you know what, I'm too tired. Let her get her water. Let her go, you know? But no, even though he was tired, he still engaged in the conversation with her, right? He went out of his way. He was tired. Why? Because he knew that there was somebody that needed to know the Lord, right? And that's what we have to do. So, sometimes we're tired. Sometimes we're just like, I want to get home. You know, I don't want to have the time to talk to somebody. You know, maybe you're in the grocery store and you've got a kid in the cart and they're crying and stuff, you're like, I just want to get out of here, right? I don't want to give somebody a track. But here's the thing. If the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart about giving somebody a track or talking to them or whatever, what do you think you should do? It's not the devil telling you to do that, believe me. The devil's not going to tell you to give somebody a track that's got the gospel on it. The devil's not going to tell you to give somebody a track and invite them to church. That's definitely not going to be the devil doing that, right? And so when the Holy Spirit leads us to do that, we've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And yes, we can say, you know what, I'm tired, I just want to go home, I've had a hard day, and everybody at work, I didn't like them, and you know, whatever. But when the Holy Spirit convicts us, that's something we have to be willing to listen to, right? Because that could be, that at that very moment, that opportunity could be the one that somebody needs to hear about Christ. I remember when we were on a furlough one time, and we were still staying with my in-laws in Indiana. We were coming, you know, driving the 30 minutes to come to church and everything, and they had a specific, I think it was a Saturday, they were going to do outreach, or is it either Saturday or Thursday, I don't remember now, but we had been driving, and we had been at meetings and stuff. I think it was a Saturday, and we had gotten back, and I knew that Saturday we were supposed to go out and knock on doors and things like that, and I'll be honest, I didn't want to. It was a 30-minute drive. I've been driving all week to meetings and everything. It was cold. I do not like cold weather, right? And I just didn't want to do it, okay? And the whole way over, even though I said, all right, fine, I'm going to go do it, I came over, drove over the whole way, grumbling, complaining the whole way, right? We go out, we knock on doors, I don't know, probably 45 minutes, an hour, something like that. Not one person did we talk to. Just left tracks in all the doors. Nobody opened the door. I wouldn't have either. It's cold. Why would I want to do that, right? Left tracks in all the doors. That next Monday, we left for another meeting, right? And we were gone for maybe another week or two or something like that. And Pastor Hill called me while we were gone. And he said, hey, Andrew, he said, you remember a couple weeks ago when you guys were out door knocking? I said, yeah, I remember that. I remember how pointless it was because we didn't talk to anybody, and you know, it was cold and I had to drive an hour. And he said, well, we just got a phone call. He said, when on that street that you were at, a guy got home and he found the track in the door. He set it on his table. And after he got done putting all his groceries and everything away, he sat down, read the track. He read through it again, read through it three times. He said he read through the track three times and accepted Christ as a Savior. That's about how big I felt at the time. You see, you never know what God can do, right? That's why I say, no matter what we do, right? If you don't ever talk to anybody, if it's just putting a track on somebody's door, or if you give the gospel and they reject it, where's Levi? What happened? Stand up and tell everybody what happened. We went out outreach just, what was that, a couple days ago, right? Tell them what happened. It was like the second house we went to, right?
Yeah, we went up the door, dad knocked on the door, put the track out, and the lady goes, nope.
I mean, I just said, my name is Andrew, and I had the track, and I was giving it to her. She's like, nope, and she just slammed the door in our face.
Yep.
It happens, right? Levi, we were just kind of laughing about it. He was like, boy, you've been talking about this, right? I mean, it happens, right? You know what? Does it make you feel good? No, it doesn't make you feel good. Did you feel good? He's like, I don't know. It wasn't me that was talking. You were talking, right? It doesn't make you feel good, right? But hey, you know what? She didn't reject me. She rejected Levi. No, I'm just... she's rejecting Christ, right? And so, again, no matter, did we fail at that door?
No.
No, we did not. We didn't fail. We did exactly what God told us to do. What she did is between her and God. What we did was between us and God. And we did exactly what God told us to do, right? So don't ever feel like if somebody rejects or if somebody cusses you out or slams the door in your face or you knock on doors and nobody answers and you're like, this is a waste of time. No, it's not. It's not a waste of time, because you have no idea what God can do with that track that you leave them, or just that invite that you give them, or, you know, hey, I don't know, maybe that lady, maybe she'll feel guilty about what she did. I don't know. Maybe she'll feel guilty, and she'll be like, oh, man, I shouldn't have been that mean or whatever, and who knows, maybe God will use that in her life. I have no idea, right? But no matter what we do, as we give the gospel out, we have succeeded. Whether they receive Christ, whether they reject Christ, we've done exactly what God told us to do. What did he tell us to do?
Go.
Go, right? I think we had a message about that last night, right? Go. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go. And so that's why it's so important, all right? Very good. How many of you still got these cards right here? By the way, I've still got some more testimonies coming in, right? Is there anybody who has not given me their testimony yet? Okay, a couple of you. I still need to find out whose testimony these two are. Anybody recognize these? Anybody recognize these? They were given to me. There's no name on it. Let's see, it looks like when I was 4, maybe, or 9. I'm not sure. But this year on Mother's Day, I realized I never had. That's yours? Is that yours? Okay, write your name on it. Thank you. All right. How about this one? Grew up in a Christian home, went to church every Sunday. The summer I was 12, I realized if I died, I wouldn't go to heaven. At home, we always read the Bible. The breakfast table. None of you read the Bible at the breakfast table. Okay. All right. That's great. Okay. Thank you. All right. Well, there's still one more I'm looking for, right? Hopefully these have names on them that were just given to me. Thank you. That was great. All right. So again, if you haven't, get those to me as soon as you can. Here's the one thing that I've, and again, I haven't gotten all of them, but the one thing that I've noticed and almost, other than the ones that have grown up in church, right? This is how most of the other testimonies have gone, right? This is what's happened. Somebody has invited them. Somebody invited them, right? That's why, you have no idea what an invitation or what a track or something, you have no idea what it can do, right? And what's interesting is that more than half of the testimonies that have been given, right? And I know there's still a few of you out there. More than half of those testimonies are of somebody that was already a Christian inviting them or giving them a track or doing something in their life. That's why it's so important that no matter where you go, no matter what you're doing, you got to be mindful of that, right? So here's what we're going to do a little bit today. If you have, how many of you have the paper here? Hope you have it, right? So we're kind of going to go through. So we kind of talked about, you know, if you're going out, you're knocking on somebody's door. We even practiced a little bit about that, right? So the first thing you do when you go to somebody's door is what?
Smile.
Well, smile. Yes, that's true. Introduce yourself, right? You're going to give your name. You're going to give whoever you're with, maybe their name. You're going to give the church name. And then what are you going to do after you introduce yourself? What? Okay, give them a track or state the reason why you're there. We're inviting you to church or inviting you to our Easter program. Or we have a Christmas program coming up, right? Whatever it is, you're stating what it is that you're doing, okay? And again, remember, if you've got those things written down, discern the timing. If you can tell something negative, right? They're just negative or they don't have time, don't stand there. Don't waste their time. Just give them the track and leave. Okay, if they're receptive, if they're positive, you might be able to talk to them a little bit longer. Okay, there were a couple that we got to talk to on Thursday night for more than just, you know, hi, my name is, you know, we got to talk to a couple like that, but not none of them, I don't think, really talked more than 3 or 4 minutes, right? Not even more than 3 or 4 minutes. And so you want to be positive and all that, right? So let's say that you ask that question, and what is the one question that you're going to ask somebody If you feel that they are kind of interested, you've introduced yourself, you have given them the track, you've told them about the different programs and things of the church, and then if you feel they're interested and you don't see them looking at their watch or looking over their shoulder, and you think you can go that next step, what's that question that you're going to ask them? What's that question? Brian? Yeah, you're going to ask them, can I ask you a question you've probably never been asked before, right? Don't just say, can I ask you a question, right? Because that gives somebody an opportunity to be like, no, I really got to go or something like that. But if you can say it, you know, could I ask you a question that nobody's probably ever asked you before? What does that do?
It piques their interest,
okay? And we're not, please understand, we're not trying to manipulate people. That's not what we're trying to do. But we do want to be able to try to get as much in as we can in sharing the gospel with somebody, right? So you're going to pique their interest, okay? How did Jesus pique the woman's interest at the well?
He said he could give her water that would make her never thirst again.
If you knew the water that I could give you, you would never thirst again. What? Water that never thirst again? What did it do? It piqued her interest, right? She's got this negative attitude. Who are you? Why are you talking to me? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. You know, why are you even asking me about water and stuff? And Jesus says, well, if you knew what I could offer you, the water that I could give you, you'd never thirst again. Okay, I'm game. What water can you give me, right? And that's what you're trying to pique their interest, right? Could I ask you a question that you've probably never been asked before? Okay, sure. Yeah. You know for sure if you were to die today that you would go to heaven. Now let's be honest, right? I hate that thing over there. It is so annoying. We just need to turn the water off. Somebody know how to turn the water off on it? Brother Josh, you know how to turn the water off? Somebody turn the water off on it, right? Sorry for those of you that are listening to this. You're like, what is going on? It's the coffee maker, right? That cursed coffee maker made me forget what I was going to say. Well, where was I going?
About like, if you died today, do you know where you would go?
So if you died today, do you know for sure where you would go? Or if you died today, do you know if you'd go to heaven? Right? Now, again, let me ask you a question. Before maybe somebody witnessed to you, right? Had anybody ever asked that question to you before?
No.
So again, it's a logical question. Can I ask you a question that probably nobody has ever asked you before? If you were to die today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Right? And so what is that doing? That's you're trying to find out something about them. This question and these questions you're going to ask are helping to determine the spiritual level of this person, right? If they say no, then what do you know already? They're lost. And they know they're lost, right? Because they just said, no, I don't know, right? So you already know. They're lost, okay? So if they say no, what would you do? You've just asked them, do you know for sure if you died today that you would go to heaven? Or do you know for sure if you died today where you would be? Miss Rachel?
Can I tell you how you can
know? Yeah. Could I, and it's not, and that's a great way to say it, but more important is, could I take the Bible and show you how you could know for sure that you could go to heaven when you die, right? Why do you want to input the Bible, or why do you want to input God's Word? Michael? Right. You want it to always go back to the Word of God. What does the Bible say, right? It's not what First Baptist says. It's not what we say. It's what does God say, right? So could I take the Bible and show you what God says about how you can know for sure you can go to heaven? Now, again, if they say yes, there you go, right? Keep going. If they say, no, I don't know if I have time, what should you do? Yeah. say, that's all right, I understand you're busy, and I don't want to take your time. Again, you've been standing there for a couple minutes now, right? Remember, you are the uninvited guest, right? Nobody invited you to come, right? So if they say, no, I just don't have time right now, but you can tell they're interested. They answer the question, no, I'm not sure, I'm going to go to heaven, but I don't really have time right now. Ask them, say, that's all right, I understand. Could we make an appointment so that we could come back later? When maybe you do have a little bit more time, because this is such an important thing to know, right? Again, you're emphasizing how important this is for them to understand salvation, right? So ask them, would there be a time when I could come back later when you're not so busy, or, you know, or maybe you could say, hey, and again, you've got to recognize the situation, right? If it's two guys and it's a lady, don't be like, you know, could we meet up for coffee sometime? That'd be a little awkward, okay? If it is guys and it's a lady, what would be the right thing to do? Yeah. Say, would it be all right if maybe some ladies from our church, or if it's a guy and you have a wife, right? Could my wife and another lady from the church come by sometime and talk with you about this, right? Ladies, if it's a guy, right? Same thing. Hey, if you have a husband, could my husband come by? Could the pastor come by? Could some men in the church come by, right? Because you're trying to set it up so that somebody can come back and follow up, right? Okay? And then try to do that. If you can, say, hey, could I get your number, and I'll give it to the pastor, I'll give it to my wife or whatever, and they'll try to get in contact with you to set up a time to talk about that or something, right? And if they do, great, right? If they say, no, I just don't feel comfortable doing that, say, that's all right, no problem. Well, here's our information. You've got it in the track. And, come and visit us sometime. We'd love to have you, right? Okay? Now, you've said goodbye. You're leaving. As you're leaving, right? Again, this is somebody who has said they know they're not saved, but they just didn't have time to talk right then. Maybe they didn't feel comfortable giving you information. I mean, be honest, if it was you, would you want to give somebody your number or something like that? Mm-hmm. So just, again, be understanding, right? So as you're leaving, right, with your partner, as you're leaving, what should you do? Greg?
Write down their address.
Now, don't stop out in front of their house and be like, you know. Be subtle about it, all right? As you're leaving, look at the number on the mailbox or whatever. You know, as you're getting ready to leave, look at the number on the house or whatever. And then as you're walking down the street, write it down, or have whoever you're with write it down. Hopefully you've got their name, right? Because you've introduced yourself. Hopefully you've maybe asked who their name was, what their name is. And so as you're walking away, write down the address. Well, why should we write down the address and their name if they said they don't have time or they don't really want another appointment? Kendra? Okay, so Kendra is saying so that whoever knocked on the door or whatever could go back to the church, give it to a staff member or ladies, guys, whatever, so they could go back, right? Why is that the wrong answer? Why is that the wrong answer?
Because it would be strangers going to her door, whereas if we ourselves go back, it's like we're checking in again.
Okay, all right. You jumped ahead of me real quick, but why is that the wrong answer?
They've already expressed they don't have time, so you kind of want to avoid that address.
Exactly, right. They've already expressed they don't want to set up an appointment with somebody, right? They've already said, I don't want to set up an appointment with somebody. So you give, and again, no, I'm not saying your address. They don't want to set up an appointment, right? That's okay. So if somebody doesn't want to give the information to set up another appointment, don't give the address or somebody to somebody else and have them go back, because they've just said, I don't want to set up an appointment, right? So what should you do?
Go pray for them.
Yes, you can pray for them, right? But why did you get their address?
So that, to maybe check back later.
so that you can check back on them, right? You've already visited them, right? You've already introduced yourself. It's not going to be weird for you to go back and check up on them. And just, you know, hey, maybe a week or two later, you're driving by, right, in the neighborhood, whatever, and you just stop in and say, hey, I don't know if you remember me, but a week or two ago, I stopped by, talked to you about our church and things, and I was just driving through the neighborhood thinking about you and been praying for you, right? And hopefully you remember their names. You can actually call them by their name. Again, that really kind of helps. There's a personal connection there. And just say, you know, I was really praying about it and just wanted to drive by, see how you're doing. You know, have you thought about coming visit our church again? You know, I remember that, you know, we talked a little bit about knowing for sure you're going to heaven. Have you thought any more about that? You know, that's such an important thing, right? Again, that second time that you're there can really show if that person is really interested or if they were just being kind the first time, mm-hmm. right? Because they could have just been kind the first time, and in their mind, they're like, please go away, right? But if that was something very serious to them, and the Holy Spirit's been working in their heart, right? When you follow back up with them in a week or two, you, not somebody else, right? When you follow back up with them in a week or two, that's, going to show you care about them, right? And again, they might say, no, I'm just not interested or whatever. Okay, fine. You've done your responsibility. But it might be at that point when they say, you know, hey, yeah, we've really been thinking about coming. We just didn't make it last week. You know, maybe we can, you know, get together again sometime. And you can try to make that appointment again, right? So if you're leaving, they have some type of interest, make sure you write down the address, okay? And that way you can follow up. If they say, yeah, give that to somebody, you know, we'd love to sit down and talk to somebody, then sure, yeah, give it to the staff or give it to the pastor, give it to your husband, wife, whatever, and then try to make an appointment to follow up. Now, here's one thing you definitely want to be careful of, right? Don't say we're going to follow up and we're going to make an appointment and then don't ever do it. Yeah. Right? You say, hey, we're going to follow up. You know, I've got your number. I'll call you or text you or whatever. We'll set up a time, and then you never do it. Again, we're talking about somebody's eternal destiny. They said, hey, I'm interested. I'd like to set up a time. Do it, right? Set up a time, right? Okay. So let's kind of go through. If somebody says yes, I'd like to know more, right? So the first thing, if you're standing there at the door and they say yes, I'd like to know more, you've said, hey, could I take the Word of God and show you how you can know for sure that you're saved? And they say yes, I want to know that, right? I remember when I was in college and going out door knocking, and I remember this wasn't long after, probably not long after I got saved, I was going out door knocking and knocked on a door, and this elderly lady came to the door, and I introduced myself, told her who I was and everything, and I asked her that question. I said, do you know for sure today if you died, you'd go to heaven? And she said, you know, I'm not really sure. And I said, well, could I show you from the Word of God how you can know? And she said, yes. I was like, really? I think I said, really? I mean, I was just so shocked that she said yes. I mean, I was not expecting that, right? And so I don't remember who was my partner that day from college, but we got to stand there and we got to lead this lady to the Lord.
Wow.
I mean, I was like, well, this is so cool. She said yes. And we got to be able to witness her and show her how to be saved, right? And so if they say yes, right, and don't be surprised if somebody says yes. Praise God for that, right? Don't be surprised if they say no. Don't be surprised if they say yes, you know. Don't say, really? Like I did. It's probably not the best thing to do. At least the lady was very kind to me about it. And she was like, yeah, I'd really like to know. So the first thing you're wanting to do, right, is help them to understand what? That they're a sinner, right? How are we going to do that? What verse do we need to go to? We're going to go to the book of Romans, right? So we're going to kind of just basically kind of go through, some of you have heard this before through different testimonies, the Romans Road, right? Don't tell them, I'd like to take you through the Romans Road. That doesn't mean anything to them, right? Just say, we're going to look at God's Word to know how we can know for sure we're going to go to heaven, right? So let's look in Romans chapter 3. Now, they're probably not going to have a Bible right there. They're standing at the door, right? Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you have brought your Bible, right? If you're out door knocking, whatever, you should always have a Bible. There's three things you should always have when you're out door knocking, right? What are those three things? I just gave you one. A Bible? Okay, there's four things. A Bible, a track, right? A what? Well, you need a partner, yes, but what? A pen and something to write on, right? Because the last thing you want to do is be like, you've got this person's name and you've got their address and you have nothing to write it on, right? Now, I know a lot of, nowadays, everybody has a phone and you could probably type it into your phone or something like that, and that's fine. But whether it's the phone that you use to write something on or a pen and paper, whatever, but make sure you have those things, okay? And again, I would encourage you to use a Bible, whether it's a small New Testament or a small Bible or whatever. Don't use your phone, right? Yeah. Because again, is the Word of God the same whether it's on a phone or in a book?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely, right? But there's something different about, here, look at this verse here on the phone, yeah, compared to look at this verse here in the Bible, mm-hmm, right? There's just something, it brings more authority than just look at this verse on the phone, okay? But Jeff?
There's more permanence to it.
Right, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have like a small, sometimes people call it a soul-winning Bible or a soul-winning New Testament or something like that. If you're interested in one, we can definitely get you one or whatever. But that's usually what I just carry. I'll just carry a small New Testament. For guys, it'll usually just fit in your back pocket, right? Ladies, it can fit in your purse or something like that. I also, in my car, I keep a small whole Bible. It's probably like half the size of this, right? It's like that size. But it's the whole Bible. I keep that in my car. And it's small enough that I can put that in my pocket too. I can put that in my back pocket, or I can put it in a coat or something like that that I'm wearing if it's wintertime, all right? But make sure you have the Word of God, okay? Again, not saying that the Word of God is not the Word of God on a phone. It's just more authoritative when it's in book, right? So we're going to go to Romans chapter 3, right? You're going to say, let me show you this verse here in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10, right? Now, what did I just say?
Romans chapter.
No, what did I say before that? Let me show you, right? So that means I need to be showing them. I'm not just reading it myself. Say, you know, in Romans 3:10 it says, no. I want them to see what it says. I want them to see this is what God's Word says. These are not my words. This is what God's Word said, right? So I'm going to say, let me show you here, and I'm going to hold my Bible out for them to look, right? Now, whether they follow along or not, I don't care if they do or they don't, right? But they're going to know that what I'm showing them is in the Word of God. And I will use my finger, and I will bring them to the verse, because most people that have never used a Bible don't know how a Bible works, right? They don't know chapter, verse, things like that, right? So I'm going to say here in Romans chapter 3, in verse number 10, and you don't have to go into Romans was written by the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. You don't need that, right? Just say here in Romans chapter 3, in verse number 10, notice what it says. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So I'm going to read it to them. Okay, but I'm going to use my finger to show them exactly where it is, right? Just as I was doing it with Luke. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. I don't want them having to figure out, where is this in this page that I'm looking at, right? No, I'm going to show them right here. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Okay, now once I've read the verse to them, what am I going to do next? No, I'm not going to explain it. What's that? I'm going to ask them a question. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to explain it to them, right? I'm not going to explain it, right? I'm going to ask them. It says here, as it is, there is none righteous, no, not one. What do you think the word righteous means? Now, don't ask, do you understand the word righteous? No. Don't ask yes or no questions. If you ask yes or no questions, you're not really able to understand if they understand or not, right? So don't ask yes. Do you know what the word righteous means? Well, that's going to be easy. Yeah. They don't want to act like they're dumb, right? Yeah, I know what it means. Well, maybe they do, maybe they don't, right? So ask them, Do you know what the word righteous means?
Yeah, do you want me to actually?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. Yeah.
like upright, moral, in some cases it would be like sinless.
Okay. He says upright, moral, maybe in some cases sinless, right? So he has a good understanding of what the word righteous means, okay? Not everybody is going to. Somebody be like, I don't know. The word righteous simply means what? Right. But how right? 100% right. That's what the word righteous means. It means 100% right. There's no wrong, right? And so why? He says there's none righteous, no, not one. So, you know, you said the word righteous means moral or right, or why would God say there is none righteous? I mean, there's a lot of moral people, right? So what am I trying to do? I'm trying to get him to think about what the verse is saying. It'd be very easy for me to say, you know, this is what the verse means.
Right.
I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just tell him what it means. I want him to think through this so that he fully understands what God is trying to say. Okay? Why do you think God says there's none righteous? No, not one.
I don't know.
You know, it's really interesting. If you look down here at the next verse, here in verse number 12, he says, there's none that doeth good. No, not one. Now, Luke, do you know anybody that's a good person? Yourself, you're a good person. That's very prideful of you. Right?
I'm supposed to go about this like I do.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, he's going to be like, yeah, I know some good people, right? I mean, is your grandma good? Hopefully she doesn't listen to this recording, right? Somebody's going to make sure she listens to it, I believe. So you're going to ask him, do you know any good people? Well, sure, yeah, everybody knows somebody that's good, right? But then, so why would God say there is none good, no, not one?
I don't know.
It's easy just to read the verses and tell them what it means, but that's not cause them to think about it, right? So I'm going to ask him, does he understand what righteous means? Why would God say there's none good, no, not one? Why would God say there's none good, no, not one? What's that? Well, but don't we call people good people? That's a good person. That's a bad person. Josh?
I was just going to say, we may consider them that, but to God's standards, they're not.
Okay. So that's what you want to do. Why do you think God says that no one is good? Right? I mean, wouldn't we think that somebody that helps the poor, wouldn't we think that's a good person? I mean, wouldn't we think that somebody that maybe goes to church, wouldn't we think that's a good person? So you're trying to help them to think through this, but yet God says there's none that is good. So why would all these people that we think are good, why would God say they're not good?
I don't know.
Why do we call somebody good?
Because they're doing good works, they're doing good deeds.
Yeah, that person, we're saying that person is good because they're better than somebody who's not doing anything good, right? This person is better because maybe they haven't murdered somebody. This person is better because they are kind to people instead of stealing from people, right? So we say this person is good because they're better than this person over here, right? So I'm helping him try to understand why we even call people good and bad, right? So Luke, if I was to say, you know, we would think, you know, a murderer or somebody that gives to the poor, who would we say is good? Somebody who gives to the poor, right? Because they're not bad like this murderer over here. See, look, when we think of what is good, what we're doing is we're comparing one another with each other. You're saying this person is better than that person. That person is better than this person, right? But when we compare ourselves to God, who is 100% righteous, who has made never made a mistake, who is absolutely perfect, who's good? Is anybody else good?
Not compared to God.
Not compared to God. See, what I'm doing is I'm trying to help them understand why God says there's no one that is good. Mm-hmm. Because it's not about comparing ourselves with other people. It's about comparing ourselves to God.
Right.
And when we compare ourselves to God, we find out nobody's good, mm-hmm. right? Because we're not righteous. We're not 100% right. Okay? Now, I can ask Luke. You know, Luke, you know, you would probably think you're a pretty good person, right?
Sometimes.
But when you compare yourself to God, and again, notice how many times I'm going back to God. To God. To the Word of God. To God. It's not me, right? When you compare yourself to God, who is absolutely perfect, could you still say you're good?
Probably not.
No. Because He's perfect, mm-hmm. and we're not, right? So what have I done? I've helped him to understand, hopefully, he's not good. Because every lost person has this idea, I'm good. I had that for 20 years. I grew up in a Christian home. My dad's a preacher. I mean, surely that's something, right? No, it's not, right? Nobody that's good, right? So then where are you going to go?
323.
You're going to go to verse number 23, right? So you've gone to verse number 10, verse 12. You're going to go over to verse number 23. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, Luke, because we're not good, there's something that God says that we are. God says we are a sinner. Now, again, the same thing. What am I going to do now? Now that I've shown in verse number 23, what am I going to do? Ask him what?
Question.
About what?
Verse.
What about it? Look at the verse, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What am I going to ask him to help him to understand? Ms. Rachel? Yeah, what is sin, right? Again, we're like, everybody knows what sin is. Not everybody, right? So I'm going to ask him, sin, I'm going to sin. Don't call the person sin, okay? That's not good. That's not a good thing to do, right? So I'm going to say, Luke, do you understand what a sin is?
Bad stuff that we do.
Yeah, bad stuff, right? Like, what kind of bad stuff do you think is sin? So what did I just do? I'm wanting him to define sin for me. I'm not defining it for him yet. I want him to define it for me so that I understand what he's thinking, mm-hmm. right? That's the whole purpose of the questions. I'm trying to understand what he's thinking so I can use the Word of God to help him understand what is right. Right? So what kind of bad stuff do you think? In 30 seconds.
Murder, stealing.
Murder, stealing. Is that my timer? Are you telling me I'm done? Brother Joel's back there. Kill it, you're done. Right? Murder, stealing. Have you ever
lying?
Have you ever heard of the Ten Commandments? You know what the Ten Commandments are? You know, don't steal, don't lie, don't kill, don't covet, you know, honor your parents, you know. Have you ever stolen anything? Now you'd be like, that's a rude question to ask somebody. No. What did Jesus do to the Samaritan woman? Go call your husband. What's she doing? What's he doing? Helping her to understand she's a sinner. So I'm going to say, have you ever lied?
Yeah.
You ever stolen anything? Yeah, have you ever disobeyed your parents or dishonored your parents?
Yes.
Testing, 1, 2. Make sure they heard that, right? Yeah. So, you know what God says about you, Luke?
I'm a sinner.
God says you're a sinner. But you know what, Luke? So was I. I was a sinner too. I lied. I stole. I did those things. I didn't obey my parents. I dishonored them. I want them to know it's not just him. I'm not trying to point out him. I'm helping to see, hey, it was me too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Me too, right? And our time's up. I don't want to go. But so think about how, again, using these verses, how are you going to help them understand it? Don't just explain it, right? So this next week, again, make sure you take a track. Anybody give out a track this past week? You had a great opportunity on Thursday to give out tracks, right? Door knocking, okay? So take another track, give it out this week. And then what you need to do is I want you to think of some of these verses, like Romans 3:10, 3:12, 3:23. What questions could you ask somebody about these verses, right? So do a scenario. Do a role play with your husband, your wife, your kids, or whatever, and just say, all right, what are some questions that I could ask this person about this verse to see if they actually understand it, right? And tell whoever you're doing it with, you know, hey, be the devil's advocate, right? You know, be like Luke, be a sinner, you know? So, right? So, all right, so give out a track. If you haven't got your testimonies to me, get your testimonies to me, and then take some of these verses. And again, most of the verses are on here, right? You know, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23. You can do some other ones as well, Romans 5:8, Romans 10, 9, 10, 13, you know, you've got the little card there. So go through some of those verses and think about questions that you would ask the person about the verse to try to help see if they're really understanding what the verse means or not. All right, Mr. You don't have the card?
Yeah,
give that to Mr. Yes, ma'am.